within the octave of the Feast of the Ascension is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, the fourth chapter, the 7th through the 11th verses. Dearly beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayers, but before all things, have a constant mutual charity amongst yourselves. For charity covereth a multitude of sins, using hospitality one towards another, without murmuring, as every man hath received grace, ministering the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the words of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the power which God administereth, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the 15th chapter of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 26th through the 27th verses, through the 16th chapter, the 1st through the 4th verses. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Paraclete cometh, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceedeth from the Father, he shall give testimony of me, and you shall give testimony, because you are with me from the beginning. These things have I spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the hour cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth a service to God. And these things will they do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the hour shall come, you may remember that I told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. There can be no doubt that the resurrection of our Lord, which we celebrated, the feast of which we celebrated more than 40 days ago, the resurrection is the foundation of our faith. So much so that St. Paul would write, "If Christ be not risen, then our faith is vain and our preaching is vain." But we know that Christ is risen from the dead, and by his resurrection has confirmed the truth and the teaching of all that he has revealed. So the feast of the resurrection is then the feast of faith, the feast which correlates, obviously, to the supernatural theological virtue of faith. Likewise, by analogy, one can certainly state that the feast of the Ascension, which we just celebrated last Thursday, the feast of the Ascension, which reminds us that we must aspire towards heavenly glory, that we must ascend above the transitory things of this earthly existence. The feast of the Ascension is then the feast of hope. For certainly, without hope, one will not see the glory that is to come. And in all things, one must always have hope that indeed through all the trials and tribulations of this earthly existence, we will indeed have the grace necessary to gain to eternal glory. Hope then is the supernatural theological virtue which, by relying upon the mercy, the goodness of infidelity of Almighty God, we hope to attain eternal glory and thus have the means necessary to attain it. So the virtue of hope has a twofold object: eternal glory, but also the means necessary to attain it. And hope is then perhaps one of the virtues against which many, if not to say most, people sin. There are those, of course, who have no hope. Those who content themselves with material things, with the fleeting, frivolous, passing pleasures of this earthly existence, and don't really care about eternity. They don't aspire to attain it. They don't try to live in accordance with the teachings of Christ to be able to procure it. And they just don't care. They're happy pursuing their earthly goals, their material success, their worldly affairs, and so they have no hope. They don't think about eternity, they don't want you to mention it to them, they don't want to hear about heaven, and they certainly don't want to think about hell. They have no hope, and they will be lost forever. Others still, however, and this is perhaps common amongst Catholics, as well as many Protestants, is the sin against hope of presumption. Many there are who think because God has so highly blessed us, that he has given us so much, has given us the clarity to see through the darkness and the chaos and the confusion of modernism, that we are in some way God's aristocracy, that we are in some way elite, and thus we will simply coast into heaven. That, of course, is presumption. And presumption is nothing other than a form of pride. It is true that God has blessed us. It is true that he has given us singular graces. But remember always the words of Saint Augustine, what he wrote: God made us without us, but God will not save us without us. In other words, you must work and toil, labor each day to become the saint that he intends you to be. Don't think you've got it made. Don't think your eternal salvation is guaranteed. He guarantees you the means necessary to attain that, but you must do your part. If you don't, well, then the fault lies with no one but yourself. And that, sadly, is commonplace. Many people think, well, we've got it made. We'll coast into heaven. We can sit back and relax. That will not save your soul. However, more realistically, is yet another way in which many, many souls sin against the virtue of hope. And that is by the sin of despair. Just feeling overwhelmed, just thinking it's too hard, thinking it's never going to happen, you'll never succeed. That, my friends, is what the devil wants you to believe. And many there are who are lost for eternity because they just give up. It's too hard. We can't do it. We can't overcome all these trials. And so they stop trying. They simply don't make the efforts to become a saint. Sadly, that is true of many Catholics. Many Catholics, and one can understand why, you look around you in the world today, and it's not hard to say there's a lot of evil. There are many things that make life difficult. There are many obstacles the devil places in your path to raising your children, to practicing the virtues, to, in a word, become the saint. So he wants you to feel overwhelmed. He wants you to give up. He wants you to stop trying. And from a natural point of view, from a natural point of view alone, it is impossible. There's no hope. But that's the point. The virtue of hope is supernatural. We know that we are not abandoned by God to our natural strengths alone, that we must do what we can, use the means that God has given us, the talents, the time, the resources, but all the while have that confidence, not presumption, but confidence to know that Almighty God will aid us from above and will indeed give us what is necessary to overcome the enemy. Remember the simple logic. The devil is a preternatural creature. That is to say, he's a fallen angel. So yes, he's far more powerful than any of us. He's far more intelligent than any human being. But that's the point. God is far more powerful than all the forces of hell together. You must then do your part, knowing that God will aid you from above. And I think the perfect example then and now is that of David in the Old Testament. David, well before he became the king, David, as a young messenger of the army of the Israelites, went and learned that the Philistines had challenged the chosen people of old, had mocked the one true God, and that none of the Israelites would go forth to combat the Philistine giant of evil, Goliath. David, small, young, seemingly weak, would not stand to hear of the mockery of the one true God. So he said, "You come to me with sword and spear and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, which you have this day defied. The Lord will deliver you into my hands." And so David, having chosen 5 stones, and with a simple little slingshot, was laughed to scorn by the Philistines. And yet with that slingshot, and with those 5 well-chosen stones, he rendered the Goliath of evil unconscious and took his own sword and decapitated him and held his head high as the victory of the chosen people of old over the forces of evil. It's exactly what you must do today. You must take those 5 well-chosen stones that God has given you with that simple little slingshot that the world mocks and scorns. The rosary. The rosary has 5 decades well-chosen of each set of mysteries. Take the little slingshot and use it as your weapon against the Goliaths that you face in daily life. For indeed, our Lord will confound the strong and the mighty with the simple and the humble. Take that slingshot. Every family, pray the rosary together each day. Don't say, "Oh, we'll get together sometime and do it." Set a time. Pray with the children. Kneel down in front of the images of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. And use those weapons, those little beads, to defeat the forces of evil, to combat the obstacles you face in daily life with the assurance that no matter how difficult it may seem, no matter how great the obstacles may be, you have that peace, that tranquility to know that you must do your part, but the victory will be given to us from above. David knew full well that of his natural strengths alone, he would never have succeeded in defeating Goliath. But he went forth and used his natural strengths, knowing that he was aided from above and the victory was his. That is exactly the sentiments which you must have. Knowing that you would never succeed of your natural strengths alone, but doing all that you can, aided from above, the victory will be yours. This virtue, the virtue of hope, dovetails very nicely with understanding, accepting, embracing divine providence. Knowing indeed that Almighty God has foreseen all that we shall encounter, all the crosses, all the trials, all the obstacles that the devil could possibly put in our path, and in all these things will give us the graces not only to deal with them, but by so doing, by doing his will, not your own. By doing his will, drawing closer to him, you will indeed ultimately become the saint that he intends you to be. Meditate then upon the virtue of hope. And be honest in your own examination of conscience. How many times have you sinned against it? How many times have you been presumptuous? For example, committing sin with the thought, oh, I'll just go to confession about that. Or contrariwise, giving up hope because it seems too hard. Never be presumptuous, but rather have confidence. And never despair, but rather have trust. So that indeed, by relying upon the infinite goodness and mercy of Almighty God, one day with all the saints, may you gain to the bliss of eternal glory. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.